WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Pulse of the Nation. I'm your host, Braden Vick, and on this podcast, we will discuss politics and elections and, of course, the news of the week. So this episode, we'll be discussing the news of the week. Let's begin. The Democratic Party will be holding the National Convention in Chicago in 2024 after Chicago was selected over the likes of Atlanta and New York. This one can be represented as a major victory for incoming Mayor Brandon Johnson, as well as Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who reportedly promised to fund the Democratic National Convention from his own pocket. J.B. Pritzker, of course, is a billionaire worth, I believe, around $3.7 billion. And he promised to fund the around $80 million the convention is expected to cost. This decision was questioned by some who thought that Atlanta would be a much better choice given its location within a battleground state and the fact that Georgia is one of the key states to Joe Biden's victory in 2020 over Donald Trump. However, there is speculation that Atlanta's response to the Cop City protest and the fact that Chicago is in a battleground region known as the Midwest. We have the likes of Wisconsin and Michigan nearby, as well as the states of Minnesota and Iowa, would have proved crucial along with Chicago's union history and promises to fulfill hotels with union staff. There is also reports on Clarence Thomas and his relations with GOP mega donor Harlan Crow. So today there was a ProPublica report that alleged that Clarence Thomas did not report a sale of his childhood home to Harlan Crow to, of course, federal officials. The childhood home was bought for, I believe, around $130,000 or so in Savannah, Georgia, which was the home where his elderly mother had lived at the time, Mr. Thomas. Now, Harlan Crow himself paid tens of thousands of dollars for home renovations. The problem isn't the buying of the home or anything like that. The problem is Clarence Thomas did not disclose this, to the proper authorities at the time. And Kathleen Clark, a legal ethics expert at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, says that, quote, Clarence Thomas was hiding a financial relationship with Crow, which could be considered a quid pro quo and has led for calls by liberals to begin impeachment proceedings against the Supreme Court justice. Clarence Thomas is one of the six conservatives on the court, so if he was impeached, that would not change the ideological control of the court, although he will likely not be removed from the Supreme Court regardless. Speaking of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dianne Feinstein, who is a member of the Judiciary Committee, the 89-year-old Democratic senator from California, is facing calls to resign over fears that she may not be able to fulfill her duties as senator. The two representatives who have called for her resignation yesterday include Representative Ro Khanna of California and Representative Dean Phillips of Montana, both of whom are Democrats. And this was after reports indicated that she may not return to the Senate as she is currently battling shingles in her home in California. What is interesting about Representative Ro Khanna's statement is that he is currently, I believe, a co-chair for the U.S. Senate campaign for Representative Barbara Lee, who is seeking the seat of Senator Dianne Feinstein. Senator Feinstein herself has said that she will not run for re-election in 2024, and yesterday asked Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to put up a temporary replacement for her spot on the Judiciary Committee so that the judicial nominees of President Joe Biden will not die in committee. Speaking of octogenarian U.S. senators, there were reports that Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican from Kentucky, may retire. Reports indicated that last month, Mitch McConnell suffered a major fall and concussion at the Waldorf Astoria in Washington, D.C. at a Senate Leadership Fund fundraiser that caused him to be hospitalized. He has since returned to Kentucky and was not seen in the Senate since. Senate staff were openly even questioning, according to reports, whether Mitch McConnell would ever come back. And if the senator ended up retiring before you know, the next election cycle comes around, which would be in around 2026 for Senator McConnell, there are questions about who to replace him as minority leader. There are reports that three senators, John Thune of South Dakota, John Cornyn of Texas, and John Barrasso of Wyoming, were all whipping conservative senators' votes to replace McConnell as the minority leader. However, earlier today, Senator Mitch McConnell tweeted that he was looking forward to returning to the Senate on Monday, quashing any rumors of his retirement. If Senator Mitch McConnell did retire, the Kentucky State Legislature would choose a list of three Republicans or three members of the senator's same party for Governor Andy Beshear, a Democrat, to choose from. And Beshear could choose one of the three. If he refused to choose, the Kentucky State Legislature would pick in that case. But with Senator McConnell returning to the Senate on Monday, that is likely not going to happen regardless. Another piece of news that broke today comes from Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News, detailing negotiations between the House GOP and the White House regarding the budget, and especially the debt limit, because currently the United States is doing what is called extraordinary measures to ensure that the United States does not default on its debt. However, there have been reports that the U.S. may default on its debt by the summer or in around July, August, or September of 2023. Currently, the House GOP, quote, is trying to slap together something to get a bill for the chamber this month. The first GOP proposal, which is essentially a wish list of Republican priorities, wanted to lift the debt limit until May 2024, wants either a cap on non-defense discretionary spending or on overall spending. One cap being considered is $584 billion for non-defense discretionary spending, including excluding Veterans Affairs programs. It would limit growth of the budget to 1% annually for 10 years. It would rescind unspent COVID money. It would prohibit student loan forgiveness, repeal some green tax credits, would institute work requirements for some social programs, would include H.R. 1, which is the House Republicans' energy bill, and some other things as well. Jake Sherman says that, quote, this is going to be a challenge to get through the House of Representatives. Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, has a narrow House majority to work with. We saw this when it took 15 ballots for him to be elected Speaker of the House. And of course, he has to deal not just with the hardline conservatives in the Freedom Caucus who helped block his Speaker bid for a couple of days, but he also has to deal with moderates in Biden won districts like Mike Lawler, Brian Fitzpatrick, Don Bacon, and others from New York, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, respectively. He has to corral them, get them united on this bill as well, as is the possibility that the Biden White House may try to negotiate with House Democrats and moderate frontline Republicans themselves to try and pass a budget ahead of the wishes of House GOP leadership. And also something to consider with the debt limit is that the Senate is currently controlled by Democrats, who have a 50-49-1 majority, accounting for Senator Kyrsten Sinema, switching her party affiliation from Democratic to Independent a couple of months ago. Of course, this was due to the victory of Senator John Fetterman over Dr. Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania by around 5 points to replace GOP Senator Pat Toomey. What Jake Sherman is saying is that Kevin McCarthy is trying to jumpstart stall talks with the White House, essentially putting everything on the table to essentially show their hand. It remains to be seen what Speaker McCarthy can get out of these debt limit negotiations, but it has been routinely panned and mocked as essentially dead on arrival, particularly regarding the planned prohibition of student loan forgiveness that is definitely seen as dead on arrival in a Democratic-controlled Senate. Some other things that happened, we have two more things to get through. There is a potential primary challenge to Senator Mitt Romney, a Republican from Utah. The Utah Speaker of the House has formed an exploratory committee to run for Mitt Romney's U.S. Senate seat. Brad Wilson, who represents the 15th House District in Utah, is, of course, not the only one to be looking at running for Mitt Romney's Senate seat. Attorney General Jason Reyes, I believe, is also looking at running for Mitt Romney's Senate seat, looking to challenge Senator Romney from the right. Senator Romney has been viewed as one of the more moderate Republicans in the Senate caucus, one of the most moderate Republicans, along with Senators Susan Collins from Maine and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. So it will be interesting to see, whether these primary challenges will gain any traction or whether, these primary challenges will eventually fall flat on their face. And one more story. It's one of the biggest ones that broke just a few hours before recording, is that the Florida State Legislature has now passed a six-week abortion ban. Through the state legislature, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is expected to sign it. The vote was largely amongst party lines. It was a 70-40 vote in favor of the bill after a marathon floor hearing in the state house, according to NBC News. There were also protesters on state house grounds, trying to essentially halt passage of the bill. GOP House Speaker Paul Renner reportedly, quote, had to close the public viewing galleries after protesters threw what appeared to be paper onto the House floor. Ron DeSantis, of course, being expected to sign it. It is being reported that this may put him in a sort of a tricky position, given his expected run for the presidency in 2024 against former President Donald Trump and, former Governor Nikki Haley, businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, former Governor Asa Hutchinson, and a bunch of other candidates. The measure itself bans abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, with exceptions for rape, incest, and the life and health of the mother up until 15 weeks. The exception for life and health is in current law. The exceptions for rape and incest would be added to existing Florida law. Now, it will be interesting to see the impacts of this nationwide, especially because Florida was seen as a sort of a last resort for abortion care, across the South, after states like Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, and South Carolina, and Tennessee, and Arkansas, as well as Texas and Oklahoma, all passed their own abortion bans, especially in the wake of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health overturning the landmark Roe versus Wade case. That's all for episode 2. Tune in to episodes 3 and 4 being released tomorrow and on Sunday, where I will discuss the situation in Tennessee as well as the 2024 presidential race. This has been Pulse of the Nation. I will see you tomorrow.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.